The recent debates over the birth control mandate in Congress remind us that how we talk about an issue shapes what we understand about that issue and how we respond. For some advocates, the birth control mandate was framed as an important protection for women's health care. For others, it was framed as an attack on religious freedom. Rhetorical critic Kenneth Burke reminds us that every way of seeing is also a way of not seeing. And what we say not only reflects reality, but is also a deflection of reality. While politicians and activists may have legitimate disagreements over how to interpret a situation, it's important to consider how that framing positions us as audience members. Of even greater concern may be the situations where politicians feel entitled to their own facts. For example, during a recent debate over the federal budget, Senator John Kyle took to the Senate floor and declared that if you want an abortion, you go to Planned Parenthood. And that's well over 90% of what Planned Parenthood does. When the senator was confronted with the actual fact that only 3% of the services Planned Parenthood provides are abortion-related, his spokesperson replied that the senator's remark was not intended to be a factual statement. Even more recently, presidential candidate Rick Santorum claimed that euthanasia accounts for 10% of the deaths in the Netherlands, and that half of those people are euthanized involuntarily because they are old or sick. When these claims were disputed by Dutch government officials, Santorum's campaign explained away the flagrant inaccuracy as being a matter of what's in his heart. These examples illustrate how our political discourse has moved beyond distortions and exaggerations to include unapologetic use of objectively false statements. While consumer protections exist for truth in advertising when it comes to commercial products, the same is not true for political speech because of First Amendment protections. The only standard we have to protect ourselves against false and misleading information in political rhetoric is an informed and thoughtful public. However, recent research in cognitive psychology casts doubt on the degree to which people can dislodge an idea once it has been set in their minds. A study by psychology professor Norbert Schwartz argues that the conventional wisdom of countering bad information with accurate information can actually contribute to the resilience of a myth or false statement. Denials often require the repeating of the bad information, and this repetition may actually reinforce the inaccurate information. When something is repeated, it becomes more accessible in our memory. And according to this study, one of the brain's subconscious rules of thumb is that easily recalled things are true. So when politicians speak with great certainty and are only later held accountable for such false or hyperbolic assertions, the damage may have already been done. Our only defense in such a situation is an actively engaged public, one that approaches all political discourse with a healthy dose of skepticism. We need to recognize that our natural cognitive functioning can be taken advantage of by someone trying to manipulate public opinion, and we need to actively seek to fact-check our politicians and their spokespersons. One possible resource is factcheck.org, a nonpartisan, nonprofit website whose researchers are dedicated to evaluating the truth quality of politicians' claims and messages. For the sake of our democracy and the quality of our public deliberation, we all must become rhetorical critics, informed, engaged, and critically equipped consumers of the persuasive messages around us. For The Moral Is, this is Diane Blair.